Skull and Evert present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ifrit.
I'm Sickle, and we're Sickle and Ifrit. We're the Unhallowed Reviewers, and we are doing This Week in Horror again. So just deal with it, I guess.
I don't want to, like, say the episode number because I'm afraid I'll be wrong. So, episode...
This is episode 12.
No, don't say it.
This is episode 10.
Florbendorbs.
And...
Greblop.
We're going to talk about... we're actually going to do our first annual Oscars.
Get it?
We're going to do that. And we're also going to... But before we jump into that, we're going to cover just a little bit of something that happened this past week, which would be Sundance Film Festival. There were some reviews that came out for some movies. We're not privileged and special enough to attend Sundance, though maybe...
Or just too lazy to ask.
Maybe some year me and him could actually... Me and Aver could actually do that. That does sound like fun. But right now, we just put our ear to the ground after the festival and hear, you know... hear what we hear. And what kind of came out this year were some, what sounds like some pretty awesome horror movies that hopefully at some point in this year we will get a chance to watch. which I would love to. The first one is called Wounds, and it has, I didn't read too much into it because it sounded really interesting and I didn't want to ruin it for myself. But it sounds like it's basically, it starts out in a bar where you get kind of introduced to all the characters, and there's just all sorts of, just a very wide array of characters. Based around, I think, mostly the bartender himself, who's like got a girlfriend at home and he doesn't treat her well, and he's got a crush on this other girl, like this patron to the bar that comes in all the time, and but she's got a boyfriend and blah, blah, blah. But aside from that, there's a very brutal bar fight that occurs, and a cell phone gets left behind by this group of college kids, and the bartender takes the cell phone home, and he's like clicking through it, and it's got a bunch of like really violent, brutal murders on it, and I guess it like messes with him, and he like slowly starts to go mad, and it's got this kind of Lovecraftian thing that happens.
I thought you said you wanted to read about it but not ruin it for yourself. It sounds like you read the whole movie. So
no, this is like all within, like, they made it sound like this is all within like the first 10 minutes. Hmm. And then it just, everything like kind of escalates from there. So it sounded really interesting. It's supposed to have this kind of like Lovecraftian feel to it and tension to it. So I'm pretty excited for that one.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, the one I am most excited about, and Ifrit, I know, will agree with me because we both love monster movies, is one called Sweetheart, which sounds like Castaway, but with a monster in it. And it's about a lady that ends up stranded on a desert island. She gets all set up for the night. She's, like, you know, made a shelter and all that. She's like, okay, good to go. I can survive this thing. And then apparently a monster comes out of the sea and starts, like, scavenging the island for food. And, supposedly, according to what I read, it's a really cool monster design, and you get a really good look at it. And so that just sounds like something that a lot of horror films have avoided lately. I don't know how you feel, Ifrit, but like either you get a lot of the monster, but the monster is terrible, or it's a really fun monster design, but you barely really get any.
Yeah, the only thing that I've seen like lately that hasn't been from lately, right? Like The Rake we talked about last week had pretty good stuff in it, but yeah, lately it's hit or miss, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like, and I don't want to bash The Ritual at all, because I thought that the way that it handled everything was brilliant, but like that would be an example of one where it's like, wow, really interesting creature design, but you don't get a ton of it, and it's kind of all packed into the last like almost 5 minutes, really. And so you're not getting a really good experience, which I think was the point of that movie. I don't think you were supposed to get a lot of that. So I'm not bashing it, but that would be an example of one where I'm like, ugh, I'm just not quite getting my fix. And that's just a personal thing, because I just really love monster movies.
Yeah. The director of Sweetheart, J.D. Dillard, actually did some, like, I never heard of the short story series before, but it's another one that kind of tickles my fancy because it's called Two Sentence Horror Stories, and it's an episodic series that came out in 2017. I don't think it's kept going, or I don't even know what it is, but he did one called Guilt Trip there, and it looks pretty cool. I wouldn't mind watching the series, and anybody who's done short horror films making a break into big horror films, I'm a fan of. So, and of course, absolutely. The premise, like you said, sounds pretty legit. So,
yeah. The other one, the last one, is one called Little Monsters, which to me seemed like kind of a mix between Shaun of the Dead and Cooties. So it's kind of it's going to be one of those zombie horror comedies. It doesn't seem all that original plot wise. It's this, you know, loser that loses his girlfriend and then, like, you know, starts hitting on this other girl, and they end up going to like watch over these kindergartners. The girl talks this guy into doing it, and they end up at like this petting zoo that happens to be next to what else but a military facility. And then everything just escalates into zombie apocalypse from there. And it's about them, like, saving these kindergartners that they're with, I guess. But, I mean, so, like, the plot doesn't sound all that, like, super interesting. But heard good things, and I'm sure at the very least it'll be entertaining. Because Shaun of the Dead, Shaun of the Dead's a classic. But, like, you know, Cooties wasn't, you know, it's a fun movie. They're just entertaining, you know? And I'm sure it'll be an entertaining one.
Yeah, the main actress, Lupta, I cannot pronounce her last name, sorry, but Lupta N, has actually been in a lot of cool stuff too, like 12 Years a Slave. She was Maz Kitana in Star Wars. She was Nakia in Black Panther, and she's actually in Us as the mom. So that'll be cool, because those are coming out like around the same time, so
yeah. Sweet. Yeah, that's a good point. She's getting accolades for her role. I mean, she's just a really great actress, so I would assume that she'd be great pretty much in anything that she'd be in. So mm-hmm. At the very least, you'll get some good acting out of her, I'm sure, even though probably the rest of it's going to be just kind of some fun horror comedy goofing around.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and jump into the Oscars for this year, where we only rate horror movies. We pick our nominations or whatever. But we, like, pick our winners, and then some of them we have nominees for, some of them we don't. But we're just going to kind of go back and forth and name our best ones and see if we lined up on any of them.
As per our normal list stuff, we probably won't line up on many of them.
you never know. You never know.
You're right.
Maybe you will.
I don't know,
actually. So I guess we'll start off kind of at the top of the list here. I've got best actor. For best actor, I did Sean Harris from Possum. Sean Harris is most popularly known for his roles in Prometheus as the, like, grumpy, I don't want to do this, I don't want to be here guy. And then also he was the main villain in the most recent Mission Impossible movie. That's probably the one he's most well known for now. But Sean Harris did this really funky psychological horror film called Possum, where he's like this disgraced puppeteer that, like, goes back to his hometown and, like, tries to handle things of his past. So it gets his performance was amazing, so I wanted to give him best actor. My nominee, I did have a nominee in that one, a kind of a runner-up, and that would be Alex Wolff from Hereditary. The son from Hereditary definitely deserves some attention for his performance. It was amazing. This gradually tortured soul, just everything that he had to endure through that movie is insane.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I thought that the son in Hereditary was, like, my runner-up as well. But I ended up picking Fran Kranz from You Might Be the Killer. I think that he's done a really great job in that movie. I think he was almost like the perfect person for the main character in that film. And I just thought that, I don't know, with what they were given and how they did it, he did a really good job. And, you know, kind of, like, want the end of the movie to... You want a sequel, right? And, you know, I don't know. He was just did a good enough job that I thought it was, for, like, what it was, one of the better actors this year. And I didn't really have anybody else stand out besides, you know, the son in Hereditary, but I ended up not going that direction.
Yeah. No, that's a good choice. It was a great casting choice. That guy just dominates roles like that, and that one was no exception. Next is Best Actress. Do you want to go ahead and kick that one off for yourself
sure.
there?
I think we chose the same thing.
I think we did, too.
Which is Toni Collette from Hereditary.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She did a great job in that film. Like, just watching her journey and who she is, like, and her character grow and all the shit that happens to her throughout the film, and she just did a great job of being in a really messed up situation and making it into a really intense journey.
Yeah, her dark portrayal of this disturbed woman that's dealing, like, that just having a hard time dealing with motherhood, it's terrifying. And
wait, that
I know
was
that
the
it,
point?
No, it's not the
I'm
point. I just mean, like you've got the depth of her character, I know that it really messed up a lot of my friends that are mothers, because they like put themselves in her place, and they're like, "Man, if I can't imagine myself even in a nightmare screaming the things that she screamed at her son." And like, it's incredibly disturbing, and it was really difficult for them to get through that movie. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a respect to Toni Collette, because if you can pull that off, where you've got people that are walking away and they are feel dirty, it's I mean, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, so I think that like leads directly into our next category too, which is Best Director.
Yep.
And I think we both picked the same for Best Director as well.
We did.
Ari Aster. So Ari Aster and Toni Collette, I think, are the two people that made that movie into the craziness that it was and made it into something that I think was like a pretty new standard for like what we should be expecting from like truly good horror movies. Not like genre horror or, you know, like cheesy horror, but like when someone says like this is a good horror film, like this is what they have to kind of bet. It's at the bar.
Yes, yeah, I agree. And he's got that new one coming out. Do you remember what it was called? It's got that weird
The Wingle Dongle? Midsummer.
Yes, Midsummer. And, yeah, so that one, I can't remember. I think last time I said it didn't have a release date yet, and then you came back and said it did. Something like that. But it's supposed to come out this year. Yeah, we're definitely excited to see the next thing that he comes up with. If it just comes close to what Hereditary did.
They say August.
August, okay. It's going to be an impressive movie.
Yeah.
Next one we got is Best Musical Score, which me and you both are not professionals or connoisseurs in this area.
And in
it's
fact,
not something...
I'd even go as far as say that we typically don't pick out movies for their music.
I agree, ever. And I think there definitely are horror movies that have used their scores to actually add to the tension, and not just in that, not in the, like, cliche, tropey way of, like, every time something, you know, but, like, actually using the score to create atmosphere and using it to
actually
build
the... Yeah, I totally didn't choose a slasher for this.
But that doesn't happen every year, I don't think. So it was just I just kind of went with one that stood out to me. Mm-hmm. But what about you? What'd you get?
I picked Halloween because I think I had to look. I'm not gonna lie. I had to look around a little bit to try to figure out like what movies had good scores this year. But out of all the ones I was looking at, I think Halloween stood out most to me in hindsight because they got the feel of like the old horror while making it into something that was actually kind of like suspenseful with the way that they did the sound and the, you know, classic stuff that they did. You know, I mean, it's nice to see a movie that like will respect, yeah, that will respect the classics, as we've been saying the last 7 or 8 podcasts, it feels like, respect the classics, but make sure that they make it something new.
Yeah. And, I definitely say that movie did that. Mine was Annihilation. I mainly went with that. The main thing that popped into my head was like the ending, the climax, when she's fighting essentially that, not fighting, but you know, confronts that mimic of herself, and that the music is kind of like not music. Mm-hmm. And it's like blending in with like what's happening to her, and I just remember that really sticking with me, like how the sound really integrated, the music and sound really integrated well in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll admit that I can't particularly recall the music throughout the film, but I remember that scene. I was like, whoa, this is like it's immersing you in it, the music. And I just remember thinking that was really impressive, and I think it took some courage, because it was definitely not traditional. Like, it wasn't something that you would just be like, all right, I'm gonna buy that soundtrack and listen to that on the weekend.
Yeah.
Listen to that on the way to work. It wasn't something like that, and I thought it was a cool move. It was a cool move.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I guess you're not picking soundtracks, you're picking scores, and this is why score is important, so. All right, on to our next one. So our next category for the Oscars is Best Effects. So I went ahead and chose Mandy for that, because I think that Mandy had, in general, a lot of good effects done. They did a lot of really cool scenes and shooting. You could tell when the tone of the movie was changing based off of, like, the way that they shot it and things like that. And to me, maybe that's not effects to others, maybe that's director, and maybe that is a runner-up for director, but I think the effects of that movie were really cool.
Yeah. Mine was Annihilation. I went back to Annihilation on that one. The main reason for that, I thought it was a grotesquely beautiful film. Like, it found this way of blending the beauty of nature with, like, the grotesque mutation, yeah. But it's like this perfect blend where you're like, this is really cool, and I'm just like, sometimes I'm disturbed and sometimes I'm in awe and sometimes both at the same time. I frankly thought that just being like a little kid, I thought the albino shark gator was really, really cool. I thought that was like a really cool design. It was one of the first things that you see when they go inside of the shimmer, and I just thought that was the whole thing I thought was really impressive. I thought the CG was a bit lacking at times, but I mean, for the budget, I thought they did a great job. My runner-up was Primal Rage, which again, I wish was a giant dinosaurs with powers fighting game adaptation. I wish, but it wasn't. It was just kind of another Bigfoot take, but this one, it was kind of like, I don't know. It was interesting.
You mean like
they
King
did...
Kong take or Bigfoot take?
Bigfoot. Mm. It was kind of like a practical... Did I say King Kong?
No, I thought, but it seems more like a King Kong thing.
Oh, yeah. No, it's kind of just in the woods, just a, you know, Bigfoot thing. But it's definitely one of the better Bigfoot movies out there.
It takes place in the city, I thought.
No, it's in the middle of the woods.
Rampage? There's like scenes of
them
fighting.
No, Primal Rage.
Oh, sorry. I was like, Rampage probably had some good effects. I mean, a lot of people liked it. I just like didn't think that was your runner-up.
That's very different. Primal Rage was just like the reason I wanted to pay just respect to it was that the practical effects were a lot of fun, and it definitely was kind of the. It was, I believe when I reviewed it, I titled it The Hairy Hatchet, because it was kind of like Hatchet, it was kind of like Victor Crowley, but a Bigfoot instead. So it had a lot of fun kills and a lot of, like, gruesome effects, and I just wanted to give it a shout-out. The rest of it's, you know, meh, but it deserved a shout-out. Okay. I don't know about you, I had, in between those two, I had Best Screenplay. Did you have yours on there? Somewhere.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. We skipped over that for musical score. But yeah, I thought Best Screenplay was You Might Be the Killer. And the weird part about that was like the original thing was like that Twitter conversation.
Yes.
And I thought that made into the screenplay, made it into one of the most interesting screenplays I've seen. Like that, the way that they put it into the movie and the way that they ordered things and all that kind of stuff came together to be something I thought was amazing, and it was one of my favorite movies of the year, and I definitely am happy that I got to see it when I did. And I don't know, just the way that they did it was unique, and it wasn't confusing, but it was like it jumped, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great choice, because that the style that they took to jump around and using the amount of counselors that have been killed as your time frame, and then they had to build around that, and they were even at times changing it on the fly, and it still turned out great, which I think is, yeah, I think that that's paying a lot of respect is due to that, to the screenplay for that, that they were able to be able to figure things out on the fly, I mean, and mess with things, and be able to take that idea in such a short amount of time and make it work. Yeah, I think that's a great choice. Mine was Possum. I think that Possum is a... The reason I would never give, like, the director runner-up or anything like that is it can be a tough movie to get through in terms of its pacing, which you could put towards the screenplay a little bit, but it is a very clever, it's a very well-written film. It's got a lot of depth to it, and it's got a lot of fun psychological little tinges to everything. Every word is important pretty much in that screen, in that screenplay, and so I definitely wanted to give credit to that. And then my runner-up was Hereditary. I think that one deserves a shout-out too for its writing.
Yeah, that was probably my follow-up, my shout-out follow-up, but I needed to make Hereditary not so prevalent on this list, even though it probably should have been more prevalent.
I know. Yeah. All right. So next was best makeup. Yeah. So what'd you have?
This one was hard for me because to me, makeup and effects kind of go hand in hand because I'm more of a practical effects person. So
yeah.
I picked Overlord because I think what they did with like a lot of the effects in that movie, maybe I'm just misremembering and it was all CG, but that's why it's kind of hard for me, but I'm pretty sure they had some like practical effects they did in that film and it was pretty cool. So
yeah, that one actually was my runner up, was the zombie-ish super soldiers from Overlord. So yeah, I do think that there was some good makeup work in there. I also put down, my winner was the Further Entities from Insidious, The Last Key.
I still haven't seen it, and that's like sad to me, and I want to watch it. So
it's a, you know, it continues in the trend. It's another good one. It's not, you know, nothing beats the first one, but it's, it's serviceable in the genre or in the franchise. It's a serviceable entry, and yeah, I liked it a lot. I think it definitely carries the mythos well. But yeah, the entities, that was kind of a cheap, it was an easy shot. I just made a layup, because I was like, well, the Further Entities, because they're always well done, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, it was kind of an easy layup, so I think the Overlord one is more worth mentioning, because Insidious, you know what you're getting.
Yeah, and Overlord was kind of a surprise, like, oh, yeah. that was really cool.
Yeah.
So. All right, the next one we got is Best Creature Design. So Best Creature Design for me is probably one that everyone else picked too, but I thought that the crazy human-talking Wendigo Death Bear from Annihilation was pretty crazy. Honestly, in my head, I can't think of any... Like, nothing came to mind besides that right away, and that really stood out to me as, like, one of the cool creatures. And, you know, it should maybe it's just Best Creature Design as a movie overall too, because the mimics that were in it were crazy, and the, you know, the... Just the way that they designed the, I guess, alien entity interacting with life was maybe the creature design that I really liked about that movie.
Yeah, that was my runner up was the screaming bear. I thought that was amazing. I think that was one of the best horror scenes of the year. Was that scene? It stuck with me so long after the fact, and even if I forgot other scenes from that movie, you don't forget that one. That one's intense. So well done. My winner was the Goddess of Arison Island from Apostle. I thought that was a really interesting and unique creature design. It had this very like dark fantasy feel to it, almost like Guillermo del Toro-esque type approach to this goddess that's like built in or like growing into the island, so it's like in the root system, and it was kind of like if Children of the Corn or what's that one where they harvest, they like sacrifice somebody so that they can collect harvest. That may be Wicker Man too, where that happens, where you see all of, or like you know that these cults are like worshiping this thing, but you never see it, right? In any of those movies, you never see it. It's never a physical thing. And in this movie, they were like, no, let's actually show it. Let's show this thing that these people are worshiping. Like, they're not making it up. This thing exists. And I thought that it was cool that it went that extra bit to actually show you this thing that's living. It's this living, breathing, suffering immortal being that's just forced to follow its... It's like almost like a reverse role where, like, the worshippers are forcing this being to follow their will, but they're worshipping it. It's really an interesting perspective on it. And
okay,
and
I'm like, gonna have to watch this movie finally.
Yeah. And like the creature, I don't know, I just thought it was a really great design. Like it has to feed on blood, and so then like you can see the direct effect of feeding it, like that it actually does produce blossoms, it actually produces harvest. It's a really interesting, it
sounds kind of like concept. Reverse Lovecraftian, but Lovecraftian and like the god is the one that's doing stuff, but they worship it, and it's culty, and I don't know. It sounds great.
It is. I thought it was a lot of fun. I know that it wasn't on a lot of people's top 10 lists, but I thought it was a well done movie.
Well, that's what we're here to do. Be contrary. All right, so let's move on to the next category, which for us is best sound design, and I think we both know we have the same one for this, because the best sound design movie of the year is actually one that has little to no sound at all.
Yes.
A Quiet Place.
Yep. Yep, I agree. I think that A Quiet Place had the best sound design. I mean, because it's all about what you can hear. And even though a lot of the scenes are silent, every sound is important. Every sound matters in that movie. Every time somebody screams or there's a loud bang or there's, everything matters. And so it really makes an impact because it helps. Every bit of sound matters in the way it immerses you in the story and immerses you in the characters and the
less
tension.
Is more, and it just did a great job. And it's like, because since there was no like not a lot of dialogue in the movie, the sound was the dialogue almost, And it sounds stupid to say that, but it's true. Like, watch the movie again and realize that you're cueing on sounds, not on like someone's direct speech most of the movie.
Yeah.
So. There, I put Quiet Place up somewhere, and it's important.
Hey,
now. Are you happy?
Hey, I made it. I'm glad I made it somewhere. That's
all
right. Cool.
Our final two categories are ones that aren't usually in the Oscars. They're in the Oscars, but they're not in the Oscars. So
yes.
The first one is Best Kill.
Yes.
So what'd you pick?
For Best Kill, I picked... I titled these... I've got a winner and a runner up.
Okay.
I titled the first one "Boom Headshot" from Upgrade.
Okay.
I thought that was a really awesome kill. If for those that don't know, Upgrade was kind of a body horror action flick with Logan Marshall Green, where he gets an AI implanted in him while he's a quadriplegic, and the AI allows him to his spine to work again, basically, and it controls his body, and he has this crazy like robotic martial arts style of fighting. It's a lot of fun to watch, but at one point there's a chase scene with this other guy that has a pistol built into his arm and hand.
Is that the one in the trailer? Like kind of in the trailer.
The kill? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just awesome. It's just really well done, and he basically the main character, I'm just going to run it. The main character like pops the arm, this pistol arm, back into the guy's own face and blows his own head off, and it's pretty well done. It's
but
a good,
that's not like the end
shot.
Though, right? Like that's like the middle.
No, it's not. It's kind of like maybe middle towards the end, middle. But no, it's not like the big finale. Or
okay,
anything.
I was like, that better not be the best scene, because I watched Hardcore Henry the other day, and nothing's gonna beat that movie if that is the mid scene of Upgrade.
No, I don't think I think that those are a good comparison. Like those two movies probably fit in a similar area of existence in film, but Hardcore Henry is way more intense, like just way more crazy than Upgrade is. Upgrade's more tame in that sense, but I think Upgrade has more.
I forgot that dude chokes at someone with his eye sock, like his eyeball fibers in Hardcore Henry. Anyway, okay. What was your runner-up best kill?
My runner-up was Brain Screw from Apostle.
Okay. Don't describe that one because I want to watch it.
But. No, we'll just let that one go.
All right, mine was I'm titling it on the fly for my next trick. it was the scene in Terrifier, where he saws the chick's friend in half, and it just was like the most brutal thing I've seen, and has kept me away from seeing that movie again, even though I really want to.
Yeah,
because it was pretty brutal.
And it was fun, like, that we have kind of the background story on all that, yeah. because the director was there after right. we saw yeah. it. Yeah, and he was bringing up the fact that they did a full body cast mold to do that scene with the actress. And I guess they didn't use quite the right mixture, and so it kind of stuck to her when they were trying to get the mold off, and she wasn't too happy about that.
Yes, indeedy. But. All right, our final category is called Best Scare. So different than Best Kill, because Best Kill is just about the kill. Best Scare is about the feeling that you felt when you were watching the movie, in my opinion.
Yep, I agree.
What'd you pick?
So, I picked the Twist Head Ghost from Terrified was my winner. I thought, like, when that scene first happened, it freaked me out. Like, it got me, man.
Is that the one that runs towards the car?
Yes.
Okay.
It freaked me out. I don't want to think about
that.
You what?
I don't want to think about that.
That one, it, like, got me, man. Like, the way they shot it, the way it... Because it's there, almost the whole scene, if I remember correctly. Like, it's there, and you're like, what is that? And then all of a sudden, it just takes off towards the car.
And at first, you kind of think it's her... It's like, the friend... Because it is, but you're like, oh, she survived. Oh, Jesus, she didn't survive.
Her head's backwards and turned around. That was freaky. And my runner-up was the suitcase scene from Insidious, and I'll just, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, on that do one. It. All right, my best scare was, I think that Terrified one was a runner-up, because I don't really want to think about it. That's how uncomfortable it made me. But the one that I feel like I can... say is making me more uncomfortable at the moment is the Witch in the Window scene where they see the lady for the first time, and you're just sitting there like waiting for something to happen, and I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, like, and she just gets up and starts running after him, and you're like, it just the way they shot it and the way that she interacts with them in that scene is just really creepy, because it's like it's the scene that makes you feel that feeling when you're, like, walking up the stairs from your basement, but the lights are off in the basement, you know, like, and you're, like, walking up the stairs, and you're like, I shouldn't worry about something behind me, I don't need to turn around, there's nothing there, but you still go a little bit faster, you know, like, you still just move a little bit faster, and you, like, make sure not to look behind you, or you do look behind you, and then you get even more scared, and, yeah, that's just the feeling that it cemented in my head, and that's why.
Yeah, that movie took such an unusual approach to, like, giving you the scares, because there really aren't any jump scares in it.
No,
it sets it all up in a very slow approach, and you're like, this is freaky, like, it's legit scary. I've never had that feeling that movie produced in me before, like, that I'm scared, but I wasn't, and it was all set up in a fairly small amount of time. But it's not a jump scare. It's not just a whee, and then it goes away. It's like, oh, this is sitting in me. Like, this is sitting here. It's suddenly built up. Now I'm scared. But there's nothing that actually occurred that made it happen.
It's a jump scare, it's it's over. It finishes, right? The jump scare is done. And the problem with, like, the Witch in the Window scares were, like, they were done, but you still are, like, they've lingered, right? They're, like... And then they linger right into the next one, and you're like, what the shit is going on here? Like, this movie is so watchable, but it's also, like, kind of freaking me the hell out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, well, that was it for the Oscars for us, and, I think it was a good year for horror. I think objectively we came to some conclusions on some legit horror movies that were, like, really good, just cinema, like, by themselves, and I'm looking forward to the rest of this year. I think we got some good stuff coming up.
Uh-huh. Which we already did a podcast on, so go listen to it.
Yep.
Alright, well, thanks for listening. See, like, comment, subscribe, tell us what you hate and love, and see you next time.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.